Greetings, everyone. Good evening. This is Lisa Davis. You are listening to the stream of the Committee to Examine Allegations of Racism, Sexism, and Other Forms of Discrimination. This is July 31st, Tuesday, and we are starting at 9:06 Eastern Standard Time. And we just before we get into the committee and the agenda, we just want to give a shout out and our warmest wishes to the people in Los Angeles. And we're glad that things seem to be okay. We're definitely in our thoughts, our prayers, our well wishes, and everything with the earthquake. And we're just glad that for the most part, you all made it through pretty well.
Very
okay.
Nice.
We have the agenda. We will first begin with the roll call. And as we now have people that were newly elected to this committee, and I do not believe that all of this information has been passed over to Yosh, who is the secretary, I will just go on and do a roll call, and I will automatically say to anybody apologies if I mispronounce your name. This is not in alphabetical order, but I'm going to start with what I have. Tracy Rosenberg.
Present.
Soraya. Tracy, could you help me with that name again, please? Soraya.
Chayati.
Okay. Soraya Chayati?
Mm-hmm. Chayati.
Okay. I don't hear any word from her. So Tracy is present. Joe Wanzala. Joe Wanzala, okay. Don't hear anything from him. Mary Dennis. Okay. Wesley Bethune.
Present.
Okay. Evelyn Bethune.
Present.
Great. Yosh Yamanaka.
Present.
Great. AC Burke.
Here.
Fantastic. And I will call myself Lisa Davis, and I am present as well. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the approval of agenda, which I have slated for 5 minutes or less. I know not everybody has the agenda, so I'm going to read it. Or would somebody else like to read it who has the agenda? Okay, I guess I will, for time's sake, I will just go on and read it. So we have approval of the agenda, 5 minutes or less. One, review of some of the accomplishments of this committee, 20 minutes. Two, review of the proposed code of conduct, 15 minutes. Three, discussion of responsibility of the broadened charge of this committee, 30 minutes. Part of that involves A, defining racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination. B, coordinating investigations of allegations of racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination by members of the local station board and the Pacifica National Board after procedures for such investigations have been approved by the PNB. C, working with the committees of inclusion, receiving periodic reports from each sister station's committee of inclusion, and promoting information sharing, cooperation, and use of best practices by those committees. D, studying and offering recommendations on foundation policies to monitor and eliminate racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination at all levels within the institution. And four, effective and efficient ways to work with the HR director and the foundation council to ensure that we are always in compliance with legal codes, etc. 15 minutes for that part. Do I hear a motion to approve? Hello?
Yeah,
so moved. I was trying to get my mute off.
Okay.
So move.
So it's been moved and seconded. I think I was supposed to do this first before discussing the agenda, but are there any discussion around the agenda items? Okay, hearing that. And I just wanted to also say that I think that you know, if people think that things should be added to the agenda, you know, even if it's something that you can think of, you know, at the moment, I don't have any problems with, you know, people feeling free to say they think something should be added, you know, of course, as long as everybody else approves with that. So I don't have any problem with doing it like that. Okay. So, okay, so we would like to open up with a brief review of some of the accomplishments of this committee. So would anybody like to open us up on that one?
Well, I can start. I think one of the best things that has come out of the committee was the ability to get training made a regular part of the PNB meeting as it relates to issues of racism, sexism, and some of the training sessions that we've been able to put together have had very positive feedback. And it has also carried over to some of the LSBs, which is really good. The PNB has also made it a requirement that the LSBs and staff do training in those areas. So much of that came out of the work of this committee. So I think that was a very positive piece for us.
Well, fantastic. Does anybody else who's been on the committee have anything to add to that? Well, I guess one of the things that I will add is that I'm just glad to see this committee be established. Oftentimes, you know, this is one of the committees that, you know, the issues that it involves are emotional, they're personal. You know, it's like we can't remove ourselves. You try to be as objective as you possibly can be, but as we all know, it's impossible to remove ourselves from any discussion and our experiences, from any discussion of this topic. And many of us, by our birthright, are involved in this in various ways. And, you know, we are a microcosm of what is going on in society. And it has not always been easy to talk about these things. It hasn't been easy coming to the realization that we need to talk about it. It hasn't been easy coming to the realization and witnessing some of the things that I'm sure we have all seen in Pacifica. You know, this foundation that is peace and justice, that has some of the best programming, if not the best programming, on these issues in the world, definitely, and has been in the front line of trying to reach out to various disenfranchised communities. And so we see, though, that there is internal work that we have to do. And so the very fact that we were able to establish this committee, and I think that we have really progressed. I have definitely seen forward movement in the realization of the importance of the work that this committee has to do. And that, to me, because it wasn't easy coming to that realization, but that, to me, in and of itself, is something that I think that we all can feel good about for those who have worked on this committee and those who have chosen to work on it. So that's one of the things for myself. And I also know we put forward a proposed code of conduct, and I'm in the middle of trying to find this as we speak. But we did put this forward, and the governance committee of the PNB, I know, is working on adopting a code of conduct, because that is something that we need. And I don't know exactly where we are on that, but this committee did put forward something that we agreed upon unanimously to present it to the governance committee, and that did happen. So I'm happy about that too, and also the research that we had begun to what I think would be a nice thing that could come from this committee, that this committee could certainly work on, would be to have a nice reference work, you know, in terms of various trainers that we've worked with, or even if you don't work with them, but just knowing about them, I think that would be a nice thing that could come out of working with this committee. Does anybody else who's been on the committee have anything else to add to this? I'm going to ask people to please bear with me a moment while I find the code of conduct here that we had worked on. And again, I just have to ask everybody to please bear with me because I can't print anything out because I can't print this. I got to find it back one window at a time. So just bear with me momentarily. In the meantime, I'm going to go to the next item on the agenda. Maybe we can begin to look at that somewhat. AC, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, great. You have nothing to add to this, AC Bird? You've been one of the people
I thought she did a wonderful job, and I think Evelyn should tell us a little bit about hers and Texas, because I thought that she had a couple that was very good.
We actually have, in terms of the trainings that we did, we actually have another one coming up in September on sexism and that we're putting together for the LSD and the staff. So we're really excited about that. We're kind of in the midst of planning it now. And the same group that conducted the one on racism will be doing the one on sexism.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. And now,
what is the name? Evelyn, could you repeat the name of that group?
We have a group called the it's a committee, Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee.
Oh no! You said that the training in September.
Oh, the training. Yes, the training was conducted by the Center for the Healing of Racism.
Right, and they were the ones who conducted the. When did we have that meeting? That was in. Was that in
that
March?
Yes, I think so.
Right. We had one of the things that we have found in dealing with these topics, but goodness knows we've been dealing with this to some degree for 400 years in this country and haven't gotten it correct. And so, you know, you're faced with the challenge of having a limited amount of time to try to talk, to give any depth to these issues. And so I think we had, 5-hour training session in Houston around that time. That's one of the things. I know, Evelyn, you all in Houston, you had a much longer, you devoted like a weekend, didn't you? Evelyn? Well, Evelyn, maybe did we just lose Evelyn? She'll be back on. But I believe that one of the things they didn't, and Wesley, you can correct me, I don't know if you were on the board or not then, but Houston did have, I think they had like a weekend retreat, or they devoted at least 2 days to this, and they were working with.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So do you want to maybe, if you know something about this, you want to maybe give us a little bit of your perspective on that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure how successful is it. There seems to be an overwhelming amount of denial as to whether racism could exist in our community. Mm-hmm. So I decline from commenting on it.
Well, that was a very honest answer. That's very interesting. And that's one of the things that we run up against when we're talking about these issues. Did somebody just come on? Hello? Hello?
Oh.
Maybe I'll just do a roll call again. Evelyn? AC?
I don't know. Yeah, I wanted to just say that we should issue that he just raised about denial.
Mm-hmm.
Denial is been a very consistent way of attempting to address the issue of race. Is simply let it go away, and the assumption behind that is that we no longer have it, and but the statistics don't bear that out. I know that some of you probably saw the CNN presentation on the with the.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got kicked off. This is Evelyn.
Okay. CNN presentation with Soledad O'Brien. And she went through several days of this, even though the presentation lacked a lot of things, but it still is fairly good in the sense that at least it pointed out systemically how racism raises its ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of the reason why that people have problems with that is that we don't look at society as being the elements of society as being the dominant projection of race. There's a tendency to look at it individually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the mistake comes. And you have to understand that this is a racist society. And that it doesn't mean that people are deliberately conscious. It does mean that they carry on attributes that are indeed racist from the past. And the only way we as a society is going to make this a more perfect union, as the framers would say, Obama would say, is by working towards eliminating that and recognizing that it exists, and we need to go about getting rid of it. To me, it's a big question: is are we prepared to try and get rid of it, or try and discuss it, you know, and make some headway in gathering an understanding of it, rather than look at it on a very personal level, even though there are personal people who are wedded to their racist thoughts and they don't want to get rid of it. But we have to deal with that too. But overall, I would say that racism is, in fact, permeates the U.S. culture, permeates the culture, not only here, but in many other places in the world. But we're never going to get rid of it unless we work at it and work towards eradicating it, so that we don't have to leave this kind of legacy for the younger generations coming on. So that's my assessment.
Right. Evelyn, just say I had mentioned, I thought that the training in that you all had in Houston was like a weekend thing, right? A two-day thing that you had?
Yes, in Houston, we started Friday evening
right.
with what's called a warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 30 people attend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday was an all-day session from 9 to about 6. And the warm-up was very helpful because I think it allowed people to kind of relax that Friday and start to talk. And then on Saturday, we really got into the meat of the workshop. And
right.
overall, the comments were that people found it to be different than what they anticipated it being. Many people who really did not want to attend but were maybe possibly coerced into doing so got more out of it than they anticipated. And some people sitting in the circle discovered that they may actually have some racist tendencies that they thought was, you know, the way it's supposed to be. And so it was a very interesting day. The facilitator, Sherry, is an extraordinary person in terms of being able to really keep people on track, and that's very difficult when you have folks wanting to bring in all kinds of things. And she really managed to keep the group focused on what we were there for. And that's one of the key elements in dealing with the issues, because sometimes people want to bring all the other isms into it because it takes away from some of the heat sometimes of dealing with that specific ism.
And one thing that I just want to add in terms of another thing that I thought was very good that this committee did do, because initially it was called the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism. But as we talked with people more and as we began to hear, you know, from, you know, various groups, even various situations, the realization, I mean, it began to become apparent that we needed to like I said, to broaden the scope, to recognize that, although, and I still say that racism just permeates everything and is a foundation that this country was built upon. We can't get around that. But we do need to look at some of the other things that people are faced with in this country, that they are oppressed because of or discriminated against. One of the issues, there's issues with homophobia, xenophobia, fear of foreigners, and immigration issues, and I'm sure other things that are coming up. And we have to always be sensitive to people's lives. You know, it's the realization that just because I don't live something does not mean that it does not exist. And so that was one of the things that we did realize that we were going to need to do. And when we were in Houston and we, you know, had some very interesting conversations, but it was apparent that we needed to broaden the scope, and which is what brings us here. And before, it was a committee just dealing primarily with the PNB, the directors of the PNB from the various stations. But then we decided, no, we needed a bit more input. But I'll just say, Wesley said one thing. I say this not to put, you know, Houston in the microscope or anything. But, Wesley, would you like to repeat what you said?
When I was asked how I thought it, the workshop turned out, I said that I probably wasn't in a good position to really talk about it because I feel like there was a lot of denial and that such a thing couldn't exist within our august body. So I was trying to step away from it, but now I find myself repeating myself. But and if you're not shouting the N-word, you know, it's you're obviously not a racist, you know. But it like you said, it permeates our culture. It's colonialism. It's everywhere. So that's my thoughts.
And people, like I said, this is not to put Houston under the microscope, but just to be. Help us to inform us, as we already know, of what we are dealing with, you know. But one of the things I did find, what we put forward, what this did pass this committee unanimously, and it was sent to the governance committee of the national board. And again, I know that they have been working on a code of conduct. I'm not sure where they stand on this, but it's a very important issue. But we passed. And I will send out to everybody, make sure that they get this, because this also gets them a little bit into how we define racism. And this was primarily dealing with racism and discrimination, so this might even need a little bit of work, but it's a pretty good start. And the motion was, whereas the mission of Pacifica includes engaging in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, and whereas the Pacifica Foundation non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy include, among others, the following provisions: conduct that denigrates or shows hostility or aversion toward an individual because of his or her race, color, religion, national origin, age, disability, citizenship status, marital status, genetic predisposition or carrier status, and sexual orientation or gender identity is strictly strictly prohibited. And harassing conduct includes, but is not limited to, epithets, slurs or negative stereotyping, threatening, intimidating or hostile acts, denigrating jokes and display or circulation in the workplace of written or graphic material that denigrates or shows hostility or aversion toward an individual or group, including through email, and whereas harassing and discriminatory statements and conduct as defined above by members of the Pacifica National Board or local station boards not only attack the individual person targeted, but also serve to stigmatize and discriminate against the targeted social group as a whole in a manner that directly contradicts the Pacifica mission. Okay. Therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board determines as a policy matter that any of the conduct referred to in the Pacifica Foundation non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy constitutes a discriminatory act which, if found through due process to have been committed by a member of a local station board or of the Pacifica National Board, shall warrant appropriate action such as training and or discipline. Principles of progressive corrective action and discipline will be followed in determining what action to take. And I will make sure that, you know, I will send that out after the meeting to make sure that everybody gets that. But so that is something that we just passed it was 2007. Okay. One of the challenges of this committee has, and I think it's not just the challenge of this committee, although various committees have very specific challenges. And in fact, in January, we were, one of the things that we asked that the board do was to devote a certain amount of time to look at this particular committee, but we recommended that they do it with other committees as well, and that was to look at maybe the progress we made and also some of the stumbling blocks we were encountering. And unfortunately, for various reasons, no particular reason, it just is the way that that board meetings go sometimes, we were not really able to have as thorough of a discussion in this area as I would have liked, because I think we need to look at, okay, we can look at some of the things that the committee has done well, or various committees, but we also need to begin to examine, like I said, what are some of the roadblocks that we're encountering. And I feel that one of the things with this committee, and I hope that we can make more headway, and I would say this is a Pacifica in general, at least when it comes to the board, is that we really don't have a lot of form. There are not things in writing that should be in writing. And I know one of the things that we were talking about, we really hope that we can help get this passed in whatever way we can, but a code of conduct. We need to have that so that when people are on the board, and also just for the new incoming members, the primary responsibility of this committee dealt with board members. But we also realize that we don't want to have one set of rules that, okay, well, staff, board members can act this way and staff can act that way. So we always want to make sure that anything that we adopt is, of course, in the Pacifica mission and mirrors what, you know, mirrors what is also expected in terms of behavior of staff as well. We just have specifically dealing with board members. And but I think that's important that does happen, that we do get things in writing, that we do get policies informed, that we do say, okay, this is a violation of the code of conduct, or this is what the code of conduct is, that every board member on the LSB and national board, and a director should have this, so that it will go as a guide, so that, you know, it will begin to at least make people think, you know, we have to act in a certain way, you know, and even if it's mechanical initially, I don't mind the mechanical. It's going to take a moment before people maybe get this internally, and maybe they might not ever get, some might not ever get it internally, but it doesn't stop people from saying, okay, whether we understand this or not, but certain actions are not acceptable. And, you know, I think that's important that we really move board to the extent that we can in that direction by, and so one of the things, the code of conduct, and maybe at some point we might even be able to reach out to the governance committee or something and just find out, you know, how that's coming along with adopting a code of conduct. Okay, are there any more comments with this particular agenda item?
No.
Okay. So we kind of just talked about one and two because we reviewed the proposed code of conduct. And also, again, please, everybody, when you get this, if you're reading something, you think something should or could be out, whatever, please, I just want to invite everybody to please feel very encouraged to give your opinion, especially after you read something. Please feel very free to do that. Now, the discussion of responsibility of the broad in charge of the committee, and the great thing about the motion that was passed is that it did give a little bit more definition in terms of these are some of the things that we expect, these are some of the areas to work on. So that was helpful. But one of the things when we were talking about, because when I was talking with somebody today, he goes, well, how do you define racism? And that's an important thing to do. And I think in the code of conduct, we got into that. And I also think it would be wise, I don't want to just only be the one discussing this, so please, other people, whatever thoughts you have about this, please feel free to jump in. But I think it would also be important that, you know, that was a pretty good start, what's in the code of conduct, but, you know, we should probably maybe have something in writing, or like I said, look at the other kind of isms that are going on too. And, you know, maybe give some definition to some of this, to some of the things that are happening with people. Any comments or thoughts on that? Hello?
Hello. We're here, Lisa.
Yes. Okay, great. Just at least breathe heavily. Okay, yeah, let me know that it's like when I say something, I hear nothing but silence. I'm like, oh, did I disconnect it? Okay. And maybe what we can even do as we're talking about some of this, if there are some of these areas that some people feel more strongly that they would like to work on, maybe that could be a start with some of this. The other one is the coordinating investigations of allegations of racism and sexism and other forms of discrimination by members of local station boards and the Pacifica National Board. That was something that we have, we've talked about it somewhat, but there definitely needs to be a lot more work done in this area. And I know that that the governance committee, I think, will also be looking into some of this as well. And I'm not sure when their next meeting is going to be, but I do believe that there was something to this presented to the governance committee. And but this is something very important. And again, it goes back to we have to have procedures in place. We have to have things that say these are some of the things we expect. If certain things are violated, this is the step that will happen. And I just think that this is important for board members, not just in this area, but across the board, not to be funny, but to really understand this. I know that there have been times I've been approached about something, and, you know, many of you might be like I am, used to just being around the station and talking with people, and then you realize, oh, gosh, I'm a board member, and I heard somebody said something to me. How should this be handled? And the same way, if we feel that we have been offended or that something very egregious has happened that should not have happened, that was a slight, that was sexist, or that was whatever, there has to be a way that we can say, okay, this is how we go about dealing with this. And while we do want the training, but there also has to be that thing to let people know that you want to make these words effective. Did I hear somebody else wanting to say something?
Yeah, I will. This is Tracy with KPFA, and forgive me if this is just like a noob question because this is my first call, but it seems to me like part of the rub here, or part of the hardest part, is sort of the protocol for doing investigations after there have been accusations, which I think is
exactly
degree in the rubric of this committee. So I'm wondering if any procedures were developed previously, because it seems to me that the hard part is to avoid making an alleged victim feel sort of doubly victimized and doubly violated by skepticism. And on the other side, for an, you know, for someone who's been accused not to feel guilty until proven innocent. I mean, those would seem to be the traps that investigations would fall into.
Mm-hmm.
So did the committee actually, so was the committee's work in previous years, I guess what I'm asking is, was the committee's work in previous years restricted to code of conduct work, or did you actually do anything on sort of, in, you know, the procedures and the steps for investigations and how they would happen if they happened?
Does anybody who's been on the committee want to answer that or add something?
Well, I guess I could answer part of that.
Sure.
I know, you know, at KPSK, all LSD board members, as well as all staff, paid and unpaid, are expected to take a multi-hour course, an online course on sexism. And I've taken that course twice. And the second time I took it, I took extensive notes, and I devised, I gleaned from that training, you know, certain protocols for investigating what sort of posting should be made and so forth. And I did circulate that to this committee maybe 3 or 4 months ago. That I'm not sure that it was ever forwarded to governance, but that was something that we might take a look at again sometime in the future.
Yosh, could you send that again, please?
And Yosh, I'm sorry, I don't know if it's just me, but I was having a little difficulty hearing you.
Oh.
This is Doc. I was saying, asking if Yosh could send that around again because we have new people on the committee.
Right, and also, but Yosh, I was having a little difficulty hearing you as well. And in fact, I was looking at that late last night as well. So yes, if you could send that to the other people. And also one thing, this is getting off the agenda a little bit, but I would like to be able to set up a list, you know, that we can all join in terms of for the committee to examine, you know, racism and sexism and other forms of discrimination. So that way we can, I accidentally left somebody very important off, our secretary, Yost, and I called him last night after I realized, I'm like, oh, I didn't email this to you. So I think that would be something that we should get done, and that way we can just send that to that group and you can all get it. Tracy, to answer your question, and you brought up a very, very good one, that has been one of the things I have found that we've had somewhat difficulty with in terms of just formulating procedures. We have not conducted any investigation at all. The committee is approximately 2 years old, I believe, maybe a little bit older than that. And we recognized always that we needed, that there definitely needed to have been training. Hopefully, you know, hopefully if we are able to move forward and to really progress, there will not need to be investigations, or there will need very few of them, especially if we are able to do the training. But it does raise an issue that there needs to be protocol that is formed, and it needs to be something that is fair and balanced. These questions were asked, and we began to look at it somewhat as a committee, but some of the challenges that we ran into was, okay, how exactly would an investigation be done? Let's say, would we fly out to various signal areas to do it? Would it be something that the directors on the PNB, well, now this committee has changed, so that is a little bit moot, but at one time it would. What would this investigation be done by the PNB members? I know that was a big thing that came up in terms of fly out, how would it be then? What was the purview of this committee? Was it for us to be conducting the investigation? If you had something that happened with a local station board member, was it for us to do this? Was it for that one to do it? So we kind of, there was a whole lot of the questions that arose. And we did not, you know, whereas we were able to recommend things for training, we were never able to recommend anything as a body for this committee. And there was a document that was circulated at one point, but the issue began to be, oh, well, would this be the committee that would handle all this? This is not necessarily the purview of this committee. So those are the kind of questions that were asked. And like I said, I know now that the governance committee, I believe, will also begin to be examined, just because no matter what, as we know, no matter what we might recommend, this has got to be something that has to be incorporated into the Pacifica policy by the national board. And some of the things that we are dealing with, although it pertains to racism and sexism and now other isms as well, but the national board in and of itself needs to have policies pertaining to these kind of procedural things. So we have not, as a committee, we have not done any kind of investigation, and we have not, as a committee, been able to put forward a document as a whole and saying, this is our recommendation. I think that maybe what needs to happen, this will be getting into part C of some of our, the charge of this committee, because this said, working with the committees of inclusion, you know, in terms of receiving periodic reports and things of that nature. But it seems to me that we maybe would also need to work with governance or communicate with governance in terms of what's going on.
Yes.
And maybe give some input to things. But yeah, this is a challenge for the national board in general. But something that we have to do, I feel we have to, you know, put it forward, not just as this committee but the board as well. And again, please, everybody, feel free. Whatever suggestions you have, you know, please feel free. And I will also try to circulate, you know, one of the documents that was put forward before. But we didn't have consensus on that at the committee. So, what I primarily did was look at Robert's rules for the procedures that Robert's rules recommended, and you know. course, that would have to be looked at more carefully, I guess, to make sure there's nothing that contradicts to our bylaws.
So actually, I've looked at Robert's rules, or actually, I guess someone at our LSB has looked at Robert's rules and has voted or cited certain procedures for investigation and so forth.
I'm sorry, yes, I can't hear you so well.
Sorry.
Hello?
Yes, just in general, if everybody could speak up a little. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm on a cell phone and people are kind of hard to hear.
Yosh, could you repeat yourself, please?
Yes, okay. At KPFK, we circulated at the LSB level certain procedures suggested by Robert's Rules. It's fairly explicit in a general sort of a sense, and forming a committee, an ad hoc committee of perhaps five members, and you know, it sets out the due process, how one might afford the accused member of due process, and
right.
It's actually relatively instructive.
Now, is that something is that what you had sent around before, or
no?
Is something,
this is something new that circulated at KPFK about a month or so ago, and I can circulate that as well if I can find it.
Right, that would be very helpful if you could do that. So if we could maybe, because I always like to form things as a to-do, so we will actually feel that we are making some movement. one of the things that that I can do is I can certainly try to reach out to people on the governance committee. I hear a lot of static. Could somebody mute their phone? I think mute is pound one, I think. Okay, that's good. So I can reach out to the governance committee. To ask them about the code of conduct, where that stands. Okay. Yosh?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes I hear nothing but silence. I'm like, am I still connected? Okay, and you said that you would circulate well, what you had sent around before and also what KPFK has recently adopted.
Well, we did not adopt it, but a discussion that we had. And yes,
okay.
I will circulate both of those.
Thank you. And I know the governance committee, what I will try to do is find out when the next meeting of the governance committee is going to be and find out what they're going to be discussing, because they might be about to discuss some of the things we were talking about adopting, you know, procedures and protocol. So we could, you know, listen to that and find out how we can work with them. I think that's very important to do that. Okay. Now, the next item on the agenda pertaining to some of our charges is to also work with the committees of inclusion. And I think that's important, although this specifically, well, it says working with committees of inclusion. It says receiving periodic reports from each sister station's committee of inclusion and promoting information sharing, cooperation, and use of best practices by these committees. And I think that that's a very important area for us to begin to do that. Does anybody else have any ideas or suggestions pertaining to this?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I'll say Evelyn and then Yosh.
Okay. I was just going to say in Houston, the ARDC, which is the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee, just brought up the topic of working with COI in Houston, because a lot of the things that we talk about are also things that COI has to look at in terms of how to be more inclusive. And so, you know, the biggest thing for us is trying to create an internal environment that is welcoming for staff, as well as what we put on the outside, because, you know, we get people and then they don't stay. And so we are really looking at what we can do and what the problems are that cause that. Some of them are evident. Some of them not so, you know, evident. And so we're going to propose to work with COI on looking at some of that.
Fantastic. Yosh, you're next?
Yes. I can say at my station, the Committee of Inclusion has been pretty much defunct. And last year, we had one meeting, an initial meeting, which occurred, I don't know, perhaps in May or something like that. And it was more of a recap of what COI had done previously. And then there was a second meeting which was scheduled, I think, a month or so later, which got canceled like 1 hour before it was supposed to have met. And actually, I drove all the way from West valet over to the station. That took me about an hour, and I get there, and I learned that the meeting had been canceled at the last minute. That was very frustrating. And actually, mm-hmm. thereafter, the committee never did meet again. And as far as I know, the committee has not met this year either. So, that's, you know, we're pretty much defunct up to this point, as far as I can tell.
Right. Does anybody else have anything on AC or even Tracy or anybody from the other signal areas? I know that that some of our committees are facing challenges and various difficulties, and the COI with what it's charged with doing, you know, a lot of times you can put something on paper that is easier to seem to be able to bring to fruition than actually is. And I think that's really important that we look at this. And what I would like to propose, one of the things that maybe we can begin to do for the next meeting, and I also will try to find out the charge of the COI and circulate that to us as well, but maybe we can go back to the chairs of the COI within our various signal areas and maybe just, you know, talk with them, ask how we can help to work with them, definitely show them what the PNB adopted, and I did pass that motion. I sent that motion to everybody. And get some input from them in terms of, you know, the various ways that we can work together or what we can help each other to do, maybe sit down and get some goals and things like that, and then come back and report to this committee on our meeting with the various COIs in each of our station areas. Does that sound like something is everybody in agreement with that, or?
Sure. I think that's a good idea.
Okay. AC, are you still on the call? I hate to sound like I'm calling AC out, but I do know that, in fact, he just came in from travel, and I think he just got off a plane, and I do know he said he'd be able to be on the call for the time that he could, so maybe he's now off the call, but I will speak with him about that. So we will talk.
I'm actually going to have to get off the call in a couple of minutes too.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, I appreciate the time that you've given. I really do. So that's very important. So let's and it's 10:00 right now as well. So so one of the things that we will do, we will talk with our various COI about goals and how we can work together
mm-hmm.
and then we will come back and report on that. Okay. And then let me just one of the things that I will also circulate to everyone, I will circulate the policies and procedures that the Pacifica has in place, you know, outside of the Pacifica board, because I think that will help us somewhat too. But another thing, studying and offering recommendations on foundation policies to monitor, eliminate racism, sexism, and other forms of discrimination at all levels within the institution, and that's kind of like an ongoing thing. I would strongly urge everybody, various reports that we read. In fact, there's a site I will send to you all, diversityinc.com, which I think raises just tremendous issues that we can all be thinking about. So maybe we can all, you know, contribute with the various research and things that we've seen and to sort of help with that. And then another thing that I think we should talk about, although even if we don't talk about it tonight, but really need to think about it, this has been another area where we've had a little difficulty, one of them being that we recently have hired a permanent HR director, but to really think about how to effectively be able to utilize the HR director and our legal counsel especially being very sensitive to the fact that the foundation now is, oh my gosh, in such a financial crisis. So I'm not even sure how that works, like if they participate on the call or whatever, how that works, if that's counted toward overtime with them or whatever. But we want to make sure that definitely we are very efficient. I know with the legal counsel that, you know, I think he might bill a certain kind of way. So we just want to make sure that you don't really want them on the call where we're going through all these kind of things. At least I don't think. So we should have pointed questions for them and say, okay, this is that. And, you know, so those are just some of my thoughts. But that's something that I think we need to really look at so that when we do have their ear, we can say, this is what we need. What is your opinion? Let's get your input or you know, what I'm saying, hopefully. Hopefully I'm making some kind of sense.
Well, yes, you are, Lisa, but I would suggest that we, you know, try to distill it down into a writing and either send it out by way of email. I guess that's the most practical way. I think that it's easier for people to read email and think about it and send out a response instead of, you know, chatting things up on a telephone call and trying to give legal advice or HR advice on the wing, as it were.
Right. I'm in agreement with that. That makes sense to me as well. Any other thoughts? Like I said, we can even, you know, talk about this, you know, a little bit more at another time, but I just wanted to give us something to think about. We don't want to utilize their time the way we do ours. Little joke. So does anybody have any, do I hear a motion to adjourn, or?
Before we adjourn, Lisa, may I suggest that we try to agree to another date for meetings?
That's why you're the secretary, and you're great, because I always forgot to do that stuff, and then it made it much more difficult, too. To do that. I have to remember to put that on the agenda. Okay, so this is July 31st, Thursday, so that's going to bring us to August. I'm looking at the KPFT calendar right now. We did leave August is filling up. Do we want to try to do it a month from now, which would be Thursday, August 28th, or do we think we need to meet before then?
Yeah, this is Tracy. That sounds good. For me.
August 28th?
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else on the call?
The 28th is open for me also.
Okay. Evelyn?
Wesley Bethune at KPFT sounds good to me.
Great. You know what I'm going to do? Evelyn, are you still on the call? What I'm going to do, I'm going to go on and block this in right now, and of course, if it seems like a lot of people can't make it, we can kind of change it, because this calendar is filling up fast. So we'll call it for Thursday, August 28th.
Same time.
And again,
8:30 Eastern.
You got it, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Well, with that, then I would move that we adjourn at this point.
Do I hear any second?
I don't think in a committee we need a second. You might just ask if there are any objections or something.
Okay. Any objections? Like I said, you got 3 seconds to object with me. If not, that counts as no objection.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Right. I want to thank everybody so much, and I'm looking forward to working with each and every one of you.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Good time, Lisa. And good job,
and
Sharon.
Oh, thank you. And you'll send out the minutes when you get them ready. Thank you so much.